Hey, good afternoon. It's the 5 a.m. Master Scrum meetup group, and we have Amit Kumar here. We're going to talk about questions, asking the right questions, why it's important to ask questions, and have a little discussion. And I'm monitoring LinkedIn and the social media. I think we're all out there now. We are live. And give me a notice or something. If you can't hear, send me a little note. I'll pick up on it. And if not, we're recording. Oh, I gotta hit the record button. Start recording. We are recording the activity so that we have it for future.
Recording in progress. Okay.
In case the audio doesn't work. It should work though. All right. So let's dig into this. Are you getting a little echo, Amit, or is it still good?
That's good.
Okay, perfect. All right. You said you wanted to start this off in questions. Can you share with everyone what brought this up?
More recently, I've been in meetings where I feel that people are either not asking questions or they're holding back on questions. And questions that are very important for those meetings to move on. I always feel that the more questions you ask, the better it is, because you get to think of things or understand things from angles that if you don't ask, you're only going to go straight. You're only going to have a very narrow vision, and you're only going to think about certain things. Asking those questions, so important in understanding what you're planning to do, what you're trying to do, and all that. The timely delivery of a good quality product to me is driven forward by asking questions.
Yeah, and I want to add it's so you're not an echo chamber of your own brain.
Yes.
Right?
Because if there are no questions, that means one person has made a decision or has a plan, and he or she is going ahead with that, where others are just following them, either by choice or by force. And that to me is a very suboptimal way of delivering something, where you have narrowed down your scope, your thought process, your quality, your quantity. Everything has been narrowed down to just one person thinking and delivering it. Whereas when you're working in a team, you want the team to pitch in. You want people to think outside the box, or people to ask questions why you're doing it. Are you doing it the right way? Is there an alternate? Is there something else that can be done? Something else that can be thought of? So those questions of why we are doing it, why this way, why not this way? So those questions are very important.
Yeah, and it does open up, are we doing the better quality thing? And I would also add, if you've ever been in a mastermind, the questions that are asked actually trigger thought patterns in other people's minds that are in the room. They may not answer, but it'll make them think about something maybe they're working on as well. Does this apply to what I'm doing? And then they start formulating their brain different solutions for what they're working on. They don't realize it, right? Unless you're really attuned to it. And maybe that's something we need to help teams and people understand, to be more attuned to. Does it make you think differently when they ask the question? Or you just, I can go another path. I think if I see people shut down others asking questions, part of it could be an ego thing, and this one, I feel like I know more than you, or maybe they don't know, and it's a cover for they don't know, right?
And I don't think there's anyone who can say who has not been on both of those sides. It's where you let your ego take over and stop people from asking the conversation. You know you are already running full steam ahead towards downfall. asking those uncomfortable questions in a team, it does get uncomfortable, where you might not know the answer always. Mm-hmm. Right? You're not always going to have the right answer. You might not even have an answer on a few occasions. But that's good. You do want those conversations coming up. I mean, I always try to equate that with the old SDLC model, right? The waterfall model, where did your requirements, did your design, did your development testing, and then somewhere around UAD, somebody asked. So not asked, but people used to see things and then realize, you know what? This is not what I want. Can we do this thing? Can we add a new pop-up here? Can we add a new feature here? Because that's what I'm looking for. Or can we change the view from this to this? This is what I'm looking for. So people see things and they know what they want. So we changed the development methodology. We went iterative. We went all those different ones. And now we're into agile where, all right, let's have those frequent reviews, frequent. So we are better equipped for change. I feel all of those things could be even made more optimized by asking those questions upfront. So when someone is coming to you, your product owner or your business people are coming to you with an idea, hey, I want this thing done. I want this shining castle in the air and should be standing on one beam and it should be leaning that side. Well and good. Ask the questions. What are you going to do with the shining castle? Is it going to be just for view, or do you want somebody to actually live in it, right? And it's a very dumb scenario or dumb use case, but those questions do help. You want a new functionality sent in the market. You want this done real quick. Okay, we can do it. What value are you gaining out of it? Does it have to be this way? Or can we build something which could be better for a lot more clients and not just this one specific one? With the customization that you're adding it, does it have to be this way? Or can we do it in a better way? When you're doing your implementation, does that API need to do this? Can we build it to be more robust? So why do it this way? Why do I have to go and do the way you are asking me to do? Or why do we need to do what the stakeholder is asking for? Did they think about these two things? This would add more value there. Maybe delays by a couple of weeks, but you will get more value out of that. So those questions, they're very valuable.
Yeah.
And if when there's a team that does not ask those questions or doesn't feel safe enough to ask those questions, there's a problem there.
Yeah, let's get into how do we get people to ask those questions a little bit later. So let's keep throwing out ideas, like if you do the divergent convergence. So let's throw some more reasons why asking these questions are good. And Michelle just joined too. Let me invite her. Get the mouse to work. So she's coming on board. So what I would also add into that is you asked about your business customer. Maybe the business customer wanted something. And depending on how their view of the system is, they just might have one aspect of the product in their mind because that's what they deal with. Mm-hmm. But there may be another business operations or delivery or sales or reporting that has a whole nother view of it. And the question is, like, when you want something, did you talk to the other people? Are they going to use it? How are they going to use it? This is new data that's going to show up. It may surprise them. Oh, let's change the look and feel of this website. Did you tell the customer service people?
Yep.
They know it's coming. Did you get your feedback from them on that one? It's just something to think about. And before I want to say welcome, Michelle. How you doing? You can hear me and everything? All right, good. We are broadcasting. So this is live on LinkedIn and Facebook and YouTube, I believe. I don't have anybody commenting back to me telling me I can't hear you. So I'm assuming everything's good. So if anybody out there wants to check and let us know, go ahead. So right now, Michelle, we're talking about questions, asking questions, and like, why should we be asking questions right now? We're talking about the why, and then we're going to get into how do we get people to ask more questions? How do we encourage that? Any thoughts? And we're going to want your points, Michelle, on how do you encourage people? And Tulu, also you, I know you're in the UK, to share some thoughts on that. So with that, I may go ahead and add any more things about asking the questions, or anybody in the panel would like to.
Sure, I'd like to just add one more point there. As someone responsible for development of a software, when, let's take an example of a website, like you were saying, when you create that application, any kind of application, the end users are divided into multiple business areas, right? Usually an application is consumed by a lot of business areas. What I feel is those business areas are very much working in their silos, right? Mm-hmm. The example that you give, marketing is very focused on marketing piece of it. Customer service would be working on different area of the application, which they would be focused on. You would have client service, they would be focused on their own area. We as software developers actually have the whole 360 degree view of the application. We know what happens across those different areas, we might not know all the use cases. The dev team keeps on getting recycled, people come, people leave. So you would have things going on, but we still have a better overall view of the application. So when the business comes with a requirement, something that they want to get done, the dev team, and that's not just developers, it's the entire dev team who are responsible for the creation of the application. They asking those questions brings a lot of value to what the product is. When you ask a question to a marketing team, you want this new feature in it. All right, why do you want it? Or can you do it in a different way where maybe this might get more value for the accounting folks if you do it in this certain way? Or maybe you want to do it this way, but if we can make something else there, it would be more beneficial for client services. Or rather, you're trying to add this feature, but if you do this, you are going to create a lot more problems for client services. So what you're trying to get out of this new feature would actually be a negative. You would lose your core value of the product. So these questions are, to me, very beneficial.
Yeah. I'll add another one. I was listening to a podcast this morning. I listen to a lot of podcasts while waking up in the morning, doing your workout and walking the dog. But there was an agility podcast, and I haven't heard it in a while, and it came on, it popped up, and they were talking about when they were doing a World War II thing and how the Japanese asked questions. They played some war games, and the team were attacking Midway, and the Japanese set up these criteria, but the team that was supposed to play the Americans didn't want to live by the rules and changed it, and they took out two aircraft carriers, which, if you know Midway, is kind of what happened. They actually played exactly how the Americans were. And they're like, but you can't do that. So it was like asking those questions. And then another one he was talking about when he worked at Borland years ago. Borland was the big C++. If you're as old as me, I mean, I don't know if you're as old as I am on this one, but Borland used to produce the cream of the cream C++ suite. Then Microsoft came, and they're like, oh, we're just putting out the best tool ever. Microsoft came along and asked the users of C++, well, what do you want to see? What are you looking for? They asked the questions, right? And it was funny. Borland owned 80% of the market, the guy is talking about. They owned like 80% of the market. But within just a few years, Microsoft took over 80% of the market because they asked questions of their customer. What were you looking for? And the customer said, we want more examples. So just like it is today with GitHub and all, you know, pull a sample code. That's what the customer wanted. So Microsoft just did what the customer wanted. May not have been the best C++ software out there, but because they asked those questions, they were able to flip from being 20% to 80% and take that market share away from Borland. And without asking those questions, you put yourself at risk. Like, you assume you know what the customer wants, but you may think it's a stupid question. Well, what do you guys really want? And it was just a simple question like that. And they took over the market.
Yep. And it's not just asking a question to the customer what you want. It helps them understand what they want.
Yeah.
And then it's also on the other side, when you are doing an implementation, when you got what they want, and now you have to give them that. So how you're you're creating when you're doing the development, how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Why do I need to use this API? Why can't I do it this way? Why do I need to do a custom one? Can I buy a vendor product? Or why do I need to buy a vendor product? Can I do it in an easier way by doing this way? Like, there are so many places where asking the questions is important in getting the work done.
Yeah.
Most important thing is you don't want to ask those questions at the time of releasing the code, right?
Yeah, now it's too late.
I didn't even think about this.
Right? And it's not even asking the questions, it's asking for that feedback loop.
Yes.
Right? And that's why we make things smaller in the Agile world, the Scrum and whatever, when you're doing comma, it doesn't really matter. By making them smaller, you can get some feedback and say, here's what it's coming up. Are we on the right direction? And getting that quick little feedback loop. And you have to be brave enough that they might say no, but I'd rather have the no in the beginning than on the day it's due and you're going to do a big release and you're making your sale. If you wait to the last minute, I said that was not good.
And then also those questions help you gauge what are the strengths and weaknesses of your team.
Yeah.
It could be skill wise, it could be software wise, it could be product wise, what you need to do. Do you have everything that's required to get the work done?
Yeah.
And people start asking those questions. You do realize maybe I don't have the right training in my team. I need to train the people to go get the work done. Or I don't have the right tools with me right now that is needed by my team to go do it the way I'm asking them to do. So I need to go. So I need to make sure that all the prerequisites that are required, all my day zero stuff is there for the team to start working. So asking questions, not just in one specific area, it's everywhere. When you're having a discussion, evaluating an idea, designing a solution, implementing a solution, right? Whichever way you go in, those questions have to be asked. And if I'm the one doing all the talking, it makes me feel good. And I'm good that I can do the talking, but it doesn't get me anything. Because when the time comes, when somebody's going to review me or see what I'm delivering, and it's not good quality, all that happiness goes in the trash can, right?
Where, yeah.
I wish somebody had stopped me. I wish somebody had told me what you're doing is not right. Or I wish somebody had asked me this question on January 1 and not on November 30th. So those questions are important.
Yeah, I'll even add an example of way back in the day. One of the places I work with, it's just a small team. Myself as the Scrum Master / PO, though my manager was PO, but he was non-existent, right? We thought that they're the PO, but where are you? So I was the PO based on what they were talking about. I had a ETL person to do the data, and I had a front end person. And I'm sitting in the room, and you know, they're coding and stuff like that. And I'm like, they're not asking questions, they're talking. I'm like, how are we doing? And then turned out the front end person was trying to build a solution in the front end of the website or the data, the interface, when the ETL person could have easily done a pull and did some calculations and just provided the data in a table and they just had to show it. And if it wasn't for asking that question, I don't think the one person would have realized the other person can do that job in a split second and actually do a better job of maintaining the code. Because once you put it in the front end, it kind of disappears in some weird, you have to find it, you know, put little routines in each little field. And but those are the things we're just asking questions. Hey, I want to do this. And I'm trying to get the calculations. Anybody have any thoughts or any good way, a better way than what I'm about to do to come up with the solution? Just something like that, a simple, would have saved him hours of coding stuff. And my biggest fear is just losing track of how did you come up with that number? All you need is an accountant somewhere. Why does this have too many decimal places? Or how come this is $2 off what it should be? You know, because they did some funky rounding error somewhere in the system, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to give all those occurrences, but I don't think there has ever been a project where you feel like, why is somebody asking a question? I can just go and do it by myself. When you come out of that session with those questions asked and you have those action items, you come out on a very positive side, where I have a direction now. I was thinking I could do all of this on my own, or I had an idea, I had a plan. I know more now. Though I have questions, some of them were uncomfortable questions, I didn't have the answers, but I got good information from someone, and these answers that I need to go find now, these are going to help us be more faster and more efficient. So those questions, again, sometimes they are uncomfortable questions. You don't always have the answers, but those questions are important.
Yeah. I can give questions all the time, even in daily scrum where they ask questions. I'm having stuck here and it's not working. And I've been working on this bug for 2 days or whatever it was. And then another person said, what was that field you were tweaking there in the Microsoft security field? Oh, this one, it wasn't working. It's like, uh-oh. He said, there's another one over in this system. And he went and tweaked it, and it came up with the answer in like 30 minutes. So it was just like asking that question. They didn't worry about sharing or asking, this is what I'm doing. Does this sound right? Do you see anything? Because we have all these multiple systems now that overlap, and people don't understand integration as much as they used to. They used to think it was just one app. Everything was there. But no, nowadays we're bolting on all these different tools, and you never know where the other tools will, even though you turned everything on in this one, this other tool turned it off. And then you get nothing. And then without asking those questions, they're like, well, yeah.
I mean, you think of a normal software app dev team, right? You have some people working the UI side, the UX designers, the UI developers. You have someone working the API. You have someone who's working on the database side. You have your DevOps guy who are trying to string everything together. You have QA resources. So there's so many people. There's security guys to make sure all the security implementations have been done. So there's so many teams, so many people, so many moving parts trying to put everything into it. If you're not going to ask question on how is your stuff going to work with my stuff, or where do I come into this, or you're planning to do this thing, but I don't think it's going to support me, or I don't think I can go and support that, or maybe if you do it this way, it'll be better for you as just make my life easy. So if those questions are not being asked, those situations will still happen. You just can't hide away from them by not asking a question. Those things will happen.
It'll still happen.
Either deal with them upfront, be prepared for them, find a solution and move on, or come with them at the end and then start pulling your hairs. Yeah. What do I do now?
Not to be just a scrum cheerleader, as I am sometimes, but that's what some of those events are designed to do, is to force you to ask those questions at those events. Some people took it too far and asked the same questions all the time, but that's not kind of what they meant. They just kind of do that. Michelle, do you have any thoughts on this? You want to add anything? Are you good?
It's really good, everything that I'm hearing you say. I was just thinking, like, one question. So there's no stupid questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you ask one question, you get multiple people get an answer. So I think you also need to make sure that you have safety. People feel safe to ask that question. And if you have too many people in the room, then sometimes people don't feel safe.
Especially when that's
my cue. When someone starts with, can I ask a dumb question or can I ask a stupid question? That is the cue that the person is not feeling safe to ask a question. They want to ask it, but they feel bad asking it. So that to me is a cue that people are not feeling safe. So we need to make them more comfortable and encourage them or give them the power to go ask a question.
So maybe that bridges to the next part before we get into how to help people ask questions. The next phase was, well, why don't they ask questions? So that what Michelle just said, okay, we talked about why questions are good. We kind of dwelled in that area. Now maybe the next part would be, so why aren't they asking questions? Maybe we can talk about what we've seen and felt ourselves. I mean, we personally could say, why am I not asking a question? And I'll just give one example. Sometimes you're ordered not to ask questions and just sit there and listen. and there's different times, right? Because I remember sitting with a bunch of admirals and for the F-18 when they did the first flight, we're planning, I got to sit in a room with a bunch of Navy captains and admirals. My boss said, you can come, but you just sit there in the corner and listen. And then when we get done, we'll ask questions ourselves outside the room. You know, if I pick something up that he wasn't, because he was presenting something to all those admirals across the board. So there are times when you don't, but then most of the time in our groups, we do, right? Maybe you can share, Amit, some things that you've seen why people don't ask questions.
There are always cases there. The most usual one is either someone is new in the team and he or she feels that the other people in the team who have been there for a while, who've been long enough, understand the topic of discussion better, that I might be slowing them down, right? That happened. It has happened to me. I've seen that happen to others where you just want to hold back with your question, that maybe I'll ask it outside the meeting. Let the discussion happen, where I don't want to throw them off track, or they are at a good pace. I don't want to slow them down. Right? That could be one case.
Yeah.
There are cases where people in the team don't feel comfortable asking the question, that I'm going to ask a question. Someone might not like the question. They might get offended. And then it would be an uncomfortable situation for everyone, or they have experience of that in the team. So they would like, okay, let's leave it. We'll see where we go at the end. Let me not ask my question. Or people are just scared of asking a question, where the culture or the, let's put it to the culture of the team, whoever has driven that culture, whoever drives the culture, whoever set the culture, usually it comes from the top, where people are not given enough power to ask a question. Where if someone asks a question, there is a negative consequence to that. So people then go back to a shell. Okay, you're going to talk. I know if I ask a question, if I try to contribute, it's not going to be of any value. Why should I waste my time? You are going to talk. You are going to feel good talking and getting an approval from everyone, which is a silent approval. Nobody's going to say anything. So you're going to assume that everybody's happy with it. That's how it works. So please go ahead with that. So these are things which I have seen in my experience, which stops people from asking a question.
Yeah. And I would say two facets of that. One, a new person who just came on board, right? They're afraid to ask a question because they don't know the answer. But maybe the clarity is, we'll talk about solution on that one, but they just haven't been there long enough to know the thing. But they may bring something. There's a reason why they were hired.
Yes.
Is they have other experiences that they may bring to the table that the team that was in place did not have in the past. Well, let me say, well, we did it this way in another company. Why aren't we doing it this way here? Maybe you can explain something to me, you know, and then we'll get into how to do this later. But that would be one aspect. And the other aspect, someone's been there a while and asked a question. I notice some people react in the room, and we have to do a better job of training that. Just because that one person understands what was said because they have a deeper knowledge of the issue at hand doesn't mean everyone else in the room understood it. And what people try to do sometimes, well, I know what to do, so I'm just going to shut everyone else down in the room. And you get this big reaction. I might get a question about Agile. Oh, well, there might be someone who knows about Agile really well in there. Oh, we know that. But I can tell by looking in the faces on the other ones, there's about to be a little mini revolt. And why are we doing this? And then I try to go and explain it because I can see other people in the room that like, yeah, why aren't we doing it? You know, and then I have to do my thing as an Agile coach to try to explain it. But I have to be able to say, well, just share something and get some feedback on that. You're looking for that little bit of feedback that now everybody's on the same path, the same level, and we can move on. You know what I mean? Until they're all at the same level with these questions that need to be asked, and maybe they're afraid to show that we're not on the same level or we don't know something or haven't had the experience yet. You know, sometimes you ask, I, a lot of times, and it's a tough thing to do, I'll ask questions because I already know the answer, but I just ask the question to make sure everyone else is on the same page as myself.
Absolutely. I've done that a few times too, where if I know there are people who want to know that because they have asked me outside the meeting or having worked with people, you know how their thought process is. So I would initiate the conversation. I would go ask that question for them, because once that question has been put out there, then they can come and start contributing. Right. Then they can ask the follow-up question because they've got the hint that, okay, it's good. The conversation has gone the way they want it to go. So those are things which you can do to bring people into the conversation, make them start asking more.
Yeah, and breaking the ice. Maybe they're afraid to break that ice, that first question out there. And sometimes we as Agile coaches and Scrum Masters have to be brave enough to ask that first question. Like, I heard this, as, and this is one of the techniques we can talk about, how repeating what they heard just to make sure everybody on the same room kind of heard it and said, yeah, no, I heard that too. And you all give a thumbs up and then you move on. If anybody gives a thumbs out, no, I heard something different than what you just said, and this is what I heard. I think, yeah, the fear of being the first to ask the question is also a thing. And I think, like you said, the fear of not knowing all the answers. I know companies are looking more what they call a pie shape now, where you're spread, you know, a little bit of everything. And now they're looking for two levels of skill sets, maybe like a full stack developer. Now they want full stack developers, but that doesn't mean they're the expert of all their stuff, right? They may know a little bit of different things in the stack, and maybe somebody else knows more, a trick or something that they can work together to make it faster, right?
Tell me one person who knows everything. Moment. The more you know, it's because you've asked those questions.
Yeah.
I learned a lot in my life by asking questions. Or if I'm not asking questions, I'm with people who ask questions or who are discussing those things. So I might not have had a need to ask questions. I feel I'm new in a team. I'm starting my career. I'm in a new place. Let me be with a group that usually asks questions. I'm going to get to know more there. Because if they don't ask, all I'm hearing is what I'm hearing from these two or three people talking in a meeting. As when somebody asks the question, why are you doing this way? Or why don't you do that way? That's a good question. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So the more questions you ask, the better it is.
When I was my former life as a program manager, and I'd walk through the tank production site and the testing area, and I'd come up to the testers, whoever was doing it, I would say, did you break anything yet? And they all look at me like, what do you mean broke anything? Because I don't want you, I assume pretty much my team designed stuff to pass the test that was written for it. Okay. That I assume, and we'll get bugs and things will not do. And I get it. What I'm also looking for is stuff to not expect it. Something that in your mind, you know, that I want to trigger those questions that they're not asking those questions. What if I did this? If I move this knob over here or this joystick over here, how does that impact over here? I know it's not in the question. It's outside the loop, but just for grins, I'm going to do it. Yeah. To see if there is any. I shouldn't, but you never know, you know, if I do this mechanism. So those are the, you know, they're afraid they're going to break something sometimes when they ask the questions, like the process or the ability to get it done on time. You know, they're afraid.
That's the fear part that we are saying, that if there is that fear in the team, that team will not succeed.
Yeah.
Fear to ask questions, a fear to contribute, a fear to put across their thoughts, however you want to take it. If there is that culture of fear, you are not succeeding. You are set up for failure because the team will only do what you are asking them to do. It's all based on your intelligence. And if you are the smartest person in it, if you're smarter than everybody else,
yeah,
either you're an Einstein or you're set up for failure.
Yeah, definitely. What else can they, what else, why else won't they ask questions? They think they're paid for their intelligence and they need to know everything there is to know, maybe. Like, they should be experts. Like, it was really interesting. One of my coaches that I have, that I'm on a program with to lose weight, totally different topic, to lose weight. he was talking about his dad, that he stressed himself out and gained, he was like 270 pounds. Now he's 165. He's doing marathons now. But he put the stress on himself that he needed to know what his father knew in his company business. His father took 55 years to get there. He, in his mind, I had to know what my father knew in 5 years. So he basically stressed himself out emotionally, physically, mentally. You know, so many people think they should know. Well, you've been doing this for 20 years. The person that comes off the street is not going to know what you know. And for you to assume, and it goes a two-way street, that they're asking a question, but they should already know the answer, is the wrong perspective. You've been doing this for 20 years. They just got here. They've only been doing it for five. They still got another 15 years to gain as many experiences as you do. And your job is, when they do have questions, share those experiences so you know pointedly what kind of information to provide. You know what I mean? And I see that a lot in young people and people, and they're afraid to ask questions because they should know, but they don't realize there's no way you're going to know. You don't have all those experiences to come up with that solution. If you don't ask the question, one, you won't learn it. And sometimes in our world, we want to do it faster. We don't want you to take 55 years to figure out how to code that little bit. We want those people that have been doing it for 20 years to give you that information so you're moving. You learn it, you do it, you rapidly progress without those questions. I think they're worried that they should know what someone has been doing 20 years. I think that's a fear factor, right? Yes. Michelle, you got anything? Why might be someone scared to ask questions?
Yeah, I was just thinking that sometimes people will not ask a question in public, maybe within a larger group, because they don't want to expose someone else's errors or something that they caused to fail. And so instead of asking that direct question, I don't know, maybe they could learn a way to ask the question, you know, without targeting the person. But what I find, I think most of the time, is they just take it offline.
Right.
And then they ask the person, and they get the answer, but then the person who could help them is no longer available. The person that could help them resolve the problem is no longer available because they didn't ask the question when you had all the people there, right? Yeah. They asked the question offline, not to embarrass someone.
Yeah, I got an idea, and I want to use that in the how do we help them ask more questions. That was a good one because that reminded me of something I wanted to bring up.
That's a very, very good point, because I've seen that. I've been on that side as well, where somebody has asked me that question offline, or I have asked somebody a question offline as well. So it's a very, very good use case. And like you mentioned, sometimes it's because you know someone, you don't want to embarrass them in a meeting, but you want to come out and say, hey, I think you should think about this thing as well. But again, the point is, I'm still asking that question. I might not be asking it in a group setting. I might be asking it offline, one-to-one, but I'm still asking that question, or somebody's asking me that question. So that question has to be asked. If nobody's going to ask me the question, then we are set for failure. So if you don't want to ask it in a group setting, some people are introverts, some are extroverts, some don't feel comfortable talking in a group setting. They were more comfortable in a one-on-one conversation. That's fine. But those people have to be given that empowerment to go and ask that question when they are comfortable, but to ask it.
Yeah. And you made me think, I kind of want to go back into why you want to ask the questions, but also the environment, right? Mm-hmm. So you do a lot of, so people picked up habits to ask these one-on-one questions. Big company I was working with, they would ask each individual the same question. Problem was, by the time they got through all the questions, the requirements would change because every one of the people had a different perspective on it. And then by the time they got back around, it was a whole nother requirements document. It was an amazing, I was like, what are you doing? Why don't you just get everybody in the room and ask the same question once in one meeting? I'm very big on time, right? So they would spend a half hour or 5 minutes with 20 different people. I'm like, why don't you just spend a half hour, get the 20 people in the room and ask the question? And then right then and there, they all feed off each other, whether or not this makes sense or the requirement or whatever. And because they didn't do it that way, it just took them more time. And in fact, it upset other people because when they finally saw the requirement, the other one's like, but this isn't the requirement I saw when you first asked me the question. Then they had to do the whole process again. That's the bad thing about waterfall. When people get into that mentality, but then the question was, they're afraid to ask as a group for feedback. You know, like you said, they may be intimidated to go to a group setting to ask the question because they don't want to look foolish or whatever. But in the end, it takes them longer to get the job done because if they're in a group of people, they can ask the question once and get 10 opinions on the one requirement, like instantaneously, and move on, you know?
Yeah, so what I've done there is when if I know in my team there are a few people who are more comfortable having that offline conversation than them talking in a group setting. So if there is a big discussion that needs to happen, I would give them a heads up on what's happening and have an offline conversation with them just to get their thoughts out. So if they have any questions, I would take those questions and put that out in a group setting. So those people that try to work that way, it has sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but it's one of the tools which I have seen was of use.
Which is good. Now we're getting into the solutioning, right? So let's go ahead and get in there and because I know we're almost to an hour point, but we started late. That works initially, but you have to build a strategy to get out of that. Because otherwise your time is gone, right?
Absolutely.
So you get frustrated because you're spending all your time doing those one-on-one questions. And the whole idea is we want to be able to ask these questions in a group setting or in public in that team. And how do we get them comfortable? And I think your idea is good, but there should also be some coaching on those questions that says, okay, and encouragement to get to the point where they're asking them in public or asking them the follow-up question. So I feel like this is uncomfortable. How can we do this so that we can ask this question in a group? Do you want me to represent? Maybe the solution is I'll be a representative of the question, right? And ask the, like you said, and I've done that too, where I've neutralized. Now it's very different. It's tricky. You got to have a follow-up as a scrum master or cook. When you want to do that, someone gives you a question. You have to be careful that they know that you're going to ask the question in a different way among the team, because I've had people gave me a question and I tell everyone, I'm going to neutralize questions. I'm going to look at what other people do. It might be a blended question based on more than one person's questions they have. And I asked the question and the person said, Greg, that's not what I asked you. And I'm like, threw my hands up. Well, there goes the whole idea of keeping your name out of the loop, you know, but it's kind of interesting how all of a sudden they jumped in where before they didn't want to, but then they did it and they gave their nuance to it. But there is a little bit when we do that, we want to make sure that if we're going to do that mechanism, that they know it's coming and give them a heads up so they can prepare mentally that it may be different.
Than absolutely. And then again, there is no one solution to a problem. Yeah. It all depends on what your situation at that moment is. Are you dealing with an internal team of three or four people where you know I can more easily get out of this team? I can ask questions. I can encourage them to ask questions. Or are you going in a big meeting where you have representatives from 6, 7, 8 different teams, and you know there could be conflict between different team members. So you try to drive the so as the facilitator, you are trying to make sure that you get value out of that meeting and not let people butt heads, right? So who is going to ask the question, frame the question in a way where it's not coming as a question, but more of as a thought provoking of, can this be another option? So you're putting the question in a way where you get the value out of it, but it's not coming as a direct. It's more of a something that's forcing you to think. Then there are cases where you are in a meeting or you're in a situation where you want the questions coming from people at the bottom of the chain. You want questions coming from people at the top of the chain, and you're trying to club them together in a meeting. So there are different ways where you have to handle the situation in a different way. But what I said at the beginning, where you take the questions from those people or from that group, and you bring it to the meeting, to me, that is done initially to empower them or to give them confidence or to give them comfort that your questions are good. What you're bringing is value to the team. So you saw what happened when I put across your questions. So you can do it by yourself. You've seen that you are adding value. So go ahead and do it.
Or even just by you doing it shows them that you value their question. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't get to that other level. By you just asking a question and say, yeah, that was a good question. I'll ask if you're too worried about it. I'll go ahead and ask it in a slightly different way. So it's not like whatever. But that way they see that, okay, someone, you know, I do have a good question. And if you do it enough times, sooner they lead or later, they get more confident in their questioning.
Yes.
But you got to build on it and you got to work with them and coach them.
Absolutely.
On where you want to head. You can't, this is like a students, I can't just tell them what I have to tell them where the goal is. Here's the goal. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to just share that I'm going to ask the question for it. But in the future, work with me on how you feel comfortable to ask that question in the group. And let's work together as a partnership on this journey, right? Mm-hmm. So this is how Absolutely. You get them to start asking more questions. At first, it's going to be miserable hell. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it right now. Everyone's going to be quiet in the room and you got to work your way through it and get to the point where, you know, people are asking more questions. Yeah, no, totally.
Those meetings where there are no questions coming in, there's nobody asking you or challenging what you're saying. Challenging in a nice way, where, okay, you're trying to do it this way, but why not this? Why are you going option A? Why not option B? To me, those are very uncomfortable meetings.
Yeah.
I'm just talking to a wall, right? Why? Then it feels like I'm wasting the time of the group.
Yeah.
So you do want that interaction. You do want that back and forth conversation on why we're doing it.
And if they do, I guess as a facilitator, Scrum Master has multiple jobs, to be a facilitator, my job is to keep the meeting moving. So don't worry about wasting time. I'll let you know. You know, like we have a question in the middle of daily Scrum. I go, okay, can we table this and have a longer conversation later and continue the conversation? Because I think this is going to go into a more detailed discussion and everything like that. So as a facilitator, you keep the thing moving, but you let them know what you're doing on that one. I want to admit, you have anything else solution-wise for helping people ask more questions?
I mean, I think it boils down to two things. One is, do people have the confidence to ask questions, and mm-hmm. are people comfortable asking questions? If we can create that culture for them, and again, it comes to the culture. If you can mm-hmm. create a culture where the team feels comfortable asking questions and confident asking questions, and they both come to, are they being valued? So if we can bring those things together for the team, you are in business.
Yeah. I want to touch on what Michelle asked about people being afraid to make someone look bad. I like to do is I like to talk about process rather than sometimes individual. So if there's a bug or something came up, rather than pointing the finger at someone, everyone makes mistake. Mm-hmm. No one plant person. If you say you never make a mistake, I'll be like, yeah, right. Let me go find one. It's a challenge, right? I'll go find one for you and I'll show you. But no, I won't do that. It's a mean thing. I have an evil hat. But by saying, okay, a bug happened. is there something missing in our procedure, our process, to allow the bug to get through? Do we need to examine our process as a whole? Because it can happen to any one of us in the team at any time. And if we're doing the same thing, we don't have this document process, or, you know, even though they say in Agile, there's no, people say there's no documentation. Yes, there is documentation. There's some standard engineering practices, Maybe the practice needs to be updated. Maybe we haven't updated the practice, like even your definition ready, definition done, in like 2 years. We did that 2 years ago. I said, half the team is new. You know, things change and people sometimes get offended by, well, I wrote that process 2 years ago. It's still good. It's like, no, there's stuff that's been, we just acknowledge things have changed. We make sure, do a view across the whole team, you know, rather than at the actual physical bug, the issue at hand, you look at the process. Hey, maybe we set up a session to talk about the process of releasing this code, or the process of how we go from this stage to here, and just have talk about that rather than an individual in that. That's one of the ways I get around that concern. Rather than pointing fingers, I like to go to a process route or procedure. Is our procedure right? Can we have an automated tool? We got so many automated tools. Half the people don't use them anymore. I'm like, well, you know, we could buy this automated tool and that would just check for us automatically. We won't have to worry about it anymore. You know?
I mean, the only thing I would add there is all of these good things, right, that comes out of asking questions. I think it's all driven from the top. Nobody wants to go in a meeting and not share their thoughts or ask questions. People don't do that when there's a culture driven from the top, which does not support that. Anyone going into work in our daily life, when we do something, we think about it twice. Do I really need to do this? Or do I need to do that? Will that be a better option? When we do that in our daily life, even when you're going to go to dinner, should I go to Thai? Should I go to Italian? Now, why should I go there? Let me go there. You think, you ask questions, you ask yourself, should I buy a new car? Which one should I buy? Is it the right time to buy a car? Or should I just go in and let me buy it next time? Or the rates are too? We ask those questions for anything that we do in our life. So why would a person not come in and ask those questions for the work where they spend 8-9 hours a day? They want to ask that. The only time it does not happen is when people don't feel confident and comfortable doing that. And that's always driven from the top. So as the lead, as management, whatever you call it, if we want to get the best out of our team, it's our responsibility, it's the management responsibility to make that, to create that culture of empowerment, of comfort, where people are, they feel strong enough to go ask it.
Yeah. And also might be how you ask the question to, or what questions you ask to. We may have to help people come up with ways to ask the question without getting more to the point. Some we might have to train people. You know, that's a good point. I was reading up before we had this. Some of the things about people, how to ask the right question. And don't be surprised. You don't have to do a training session on how to ask questions. People might say that's the stupidest thing ever. But you know what? Sometimes having this training on how to do things helps trigger those thoughts, even small thoughts. You know, that's another way of getting people to ask more questions. Maybe just have a training session on how to ask questions and ask for a volunteer to do a scenario, you know, just to get them to do that and make them feel more safe, more comfortable with how to ask a question, right? Michelle, do you have anything you want to add to it?
Yeah, I've seen that, Greg, in like coaching classes where you practice asking those questions, which is a good thing. And I definitely agree with what Amit said, that, you know, it really stems from the top, you know, it triggers down. Mm-hmm. If we're really going to have that learning culture, that experimental culture where it's okay to experiment and fail just as long as we learn from it. I find that in a lot of environments, even though we say that, it's really hard to put it into practice and get everyone to believe it.
Yeah. And what you just said and what Amit said reminded me, I did a show actually this morning. You talk about the watermelon and project management. Everything's green on the outside. The inside is just like a bright red. You know, they're afraid to bring up. And I actually try to encourage people, like when I would do a PI, if you do SAFE, it's called a product increment, where they do a whole session and they do a PI conference. I had one group said everything was green. We know where everything's good. And we have these, and they're saying they talk to these other teams. The other team, and this is a room with 100 plus people. Actually, probably closer to 150, like 200. It was a big, giant conference room. Team on the other side of the room goes, "You haven't talked to us yet. We have no idea what you need yet." And they just said that they talked to everyone. Right. It was interesting. But they had to ask that question because it really wasn't true. Right. So, but I just try to, as a facilitator, introduce that ability to ask those questions. You know, even if the CEO doesn't want people to ask those questions, or people are like, "Oh, don't ask any questions. All the big guys here, we're gonna get in trouble," or the woman who's in there, or whatever. And they do that, but I'll do it. Sometimes that's the servant's leader's job, is to go ahead to ask that first question, to permit it to go in the room, even though, because other people are like, "Oh, don't do it." And that's our job, to open that floodgate of questions, you know.
And that's what a good leader does, where you are creating that comfort for everyone, where, "Hey, I'm asking a question which was not that intelligent.
Yeah.
I was a very basic question. You guys might know it by default, right? But I still asked it. So don't be afraid to ask a question." So the ones leading the team, they do set that culture.
Yeah.
And if you are not comfortable being wrong, you can never lead a team and have them ask a question. If you are always right, it's a one-way street then. You don't want it to be a one-way street.
Yeah. It's funny you said that. I had a CEO, or actually the CIO in this case, say, "I want something." I noticed the product owners were getting very upset because it changed the whole plan. They had it all laid out, and here comes the CIO changing what they wanted to do. And you pick up on this when people get upset, you know, you're going to have to take the lead to ask the question, because they're just in an emotional state. And sometimes to solve this problem, they're never going to ask the question. They're just mad as hell. They're just red. I mean, they were just livid, throwing up. A lot of hand gestures, I would say, in the room. And I said, "Wait a minute, let me go talk to the CIO." Now the executive VP wouldn't talk to the CIO. They were scared to ask the question. I said, "Let me go talk." I go up, talk to the CIO. I said, "So we got this new requirement." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you need it right now? Or do you need it like next sprint? Like, so we can plan it, get it ready, get the requirements in, put it up." And he says, "Oh no, I don't need it right now. Next sprint's fine. That'll do what I want to do and everything." I came back to them. They all went, calm back down, because they got to finish what they're doing, plan for the next sprint, what they needed to do to accomplish what the CIO was. But they were so emotional at the time that they couldn't ask the question, you know? So sometimes we have to pick up on those emotions, that they're getting all mad and upset. There's something else going on there, right? And to help. Sometimes you have to go ask the question yourself for them. It's like, let me go double check. So that's also something that then they had their answer. They were too emotional to ask the question, but it's just part of that that way.
I mean, so, it's funny where if you think when you are stuck in a difficult situation, right, in a difficult job or in a difficult team or difficult trying to solve something which is making you go mad, what's the first thing you do? What the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
You're asking questions, right? It always starts with the question. What do I do? Who do I reach out to? Why am I doing this? And those are all questions. Basic questions. It helps.
Yeah. And sometimes the experience you have, sometimes you have to want be the one to ask the question. What about this? You know, and just plant a question out there to get people to ask those questions. You sometimes you plant them. I plant a lot of questions. They may look like at me like I'm an idiot, okay, but I'm like, I'm just looking for that. All right. Anything else you want to, Michelle? You have anything to add to?
You were talking about planning questions, and I just thought about sometimes we, like when we're setting up, maybe to ask some questions. So when you plant some questions, then where was I going with that? I think I lost my train of thought. So I'll let you go ahead. Maybe it'll come back.
Okay. Amit, do you have anything you want to add to getting people to ask questions?
No, I think we've already discussed about what all things can be done. Getting a list of questions, helping them, those are all good starts you can do. Making, if people are not comfortable at the beginning in a group setting, break it down into smaller teams, get those conversations out. And building the foundation is always hard work. It's always easier to build the 14th and the 15th floor than to build the first floor. So you set that out, spend more time at the beginning to get into that, to start setting the culture. People are bringing up the questions, not asking themselves, but actually they're bringing up the questions. But then you eventually do want to reach a stage where you are not the one who's doing everything. They can work on their own. People, person A can talk to person B, ask a question, get an answer, and go implement it. So you do want to reach that stage, but whatever things can be done at the beginning, get them confidence, give them the comfort that they need, set the culture that way, maybe help them with some sort of a template of questions, some sample questions. Those are all good things, train them. Those are all good things to get them started, but eventually you have to give them the atmosphere where they are feeling confident, ask the question themselves, and they understand they're bringing value to the team.
And I want to add one more solution, because it's said in the Scrum Guide, not to say why you do it. The number of people on a team, the bigger the team, what I watch out for is when people stop asking questions. And a couple of things. One, are they hiding in a bigger team? Because I've had that problem in the past where they weren't as skillful as they thought they were, or they didn't have the skills, or they were a little intimidated. So they would stop asking questions, but they could hide in that bigger team, right? I mean, it's like camouflage. They just kind of blend in the background while other people are asking the questions, but like, I don't know, you know? And that's the beauty of making smaller teams. I mean, I have teams where it would hit a certain spot and I automatically would propose cutting them in half and breaking them in two. They would hire people, add more bandwidth, whatever. I'm like, yeah, but now they're not going to ask questions because it's such a big team. And they're like all the things we talked about, afraid they'll waste time, too many people in the room, afraid I'm going to look bad, won't understand. There'll be somebody in there that won't. You know, oh, that's a dumb question. Out of 20 people in the room, what about the other 19 people, right? And then no one says anything. But by doing that mechanism of splitting the team in a smaller group helps foster an environment for asking questions. Unless you put a brand new person with a senior person that's been there for two ever, and the egos are just not going to work. That's a whole nother problem. But that's another solution where your teams get too big. They're not asking questions. Question the size of the team, right? You as a form, that is something that I've had to do in a few places, because it's just people are just getting too quiet. And I had my suspicions that they hired somebody that really wasn't that good, and they were just hiding. Maybe they were just doing bug fixes all day long, you know. And I don't want to. I'm scared to death to touch some code in a new thing. I'm just gonna go fix bugs over here in the corner and be quiet. And I'm not gonna show anything I do. I'm just gonna be quiet because there's already 20 people and be a mouse in the room, right? So. Yeah. That might be another thing.
But that's a very good point. That does happen. The size of the team, the size of the gathering, that does work. That does impact people.
So that might help improve questions too. Yeah. If it's too big. Like you're in a conference, you're in a big. I was always amazed when people would be at an assembly, and one guy would be, oh my God, you're brave enough to actually ask a question at this event, and there's like 1,000 people in the event. I was like, I knew the guy. I'm like, he was an ex-colonel, Navy captain out from Iraqi war and everything like that. So he had guts. I don't know if that was the right forum to ask the question, but I'm like, okay, you're going to stand up in 1,000 people and ask that question. Go for it. It wasn't necessarily wrong or right, but yeah. But yeah, that would be a solution. Michelle, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, so I know where I was going with that now. We were talking about the planning. It's assumptions. It's that we all have assumptions when we're doing that planning. We all have assumptions. Mm-hmm. And then we have to find out if those assumptions are right or wrong by asking questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Or a risk. Those assumptions become a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It quickly converts into a risk right away. Boom. Ooh, that's a risk. Yeah, we didn't think about that one, but that's something. Do we accept it? And then you do risk management, right? On those assumptions. So cool. Well, I does anybody else have anything? I think we talked about this. It was a really good conversation. Thanks, Michelle, for joining us. Appreciate it. I know.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry for I was so late. I was trying to get in, and I had problems. Felt like I was in a loop, and I knew problems, so you'll see my comment later.
Okay.
But every time, like, I would register, and I would come back and get something else, and I would try to click on that link again, and I was registering again. So, probably why you have less people here, because I almost gave up, and then I said, oh, no, let me keep trying.
So well, I'm going to try to do something. The first time you do it, it should be a registration, and then an email. That has, I don't know if it has it. I'll have to look at mine too. Because I said, hey, register. I'll see if it's two different Zoom calls on there. So, yeah, it might be an old registration link. Okay. But I do this because we've been hacked before. So even though I'm happy and I appreciate you being on here, I was just at a meeting the other day with the Princeton Agility and somebody jumped in. It was bad. It's like, I'm glad I do what I do. And I actually look at everyone's email and who registers, and I personally approve them. So if I don't know you, you ain't getting in.
Okay. Right.
That's why I do that process. And I manually approve. I don't let it automatically approve because it's been over a year since we've had that problem because I put this extra level in there. But like I just said, people have been doing it for boom. And I'm like, oh my God, kick him out. It was bad. Anyway, so, well, thank you all. Appreciate it, Amit. Thanks for the generating idea. We do have an event scheduled for next month too. We're going to talk about the state of Agile and the questions coming out from this, the Business Agility Institute and Scrum Alliance put out a report that they talked about what people are looking for. And I mentioned the pie-shaped thing versus a T-shape now. Uh-huh. And that came out of that, and they were talking about that too. So that'll be next time. So, all right. Well, thank you all. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you have a great day.
You too.
You guys later.